This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. That's the charming sound of birds tweeting in the wild. And for many birds, of course, singing is the way they communicate with each other, maybe to attract a mate, maybe to protect territory. But a group of researchers has found that in some cases, the songs birds sing go in and out of fashion, like the way 80s pop music was replaced by 90s grunge. And that suggests that songbird culture is even more complex than we previously thought. Joining us to talk more about this finding is Bruce Byers. He's an associate professor of biology at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. Welcome to Radio Boston, Bruce.
Thank you.
Over a 20-year period, you studied a songbird in western Massachusetts called the chestnut-sided warbler. So tell us over those 20 years what you found in terms of how its song changed.
Well, there were actually two distinct patterns of change in these bird songs. Now, as young birds, they learn their songs from older birds.
They're not, so, it's not hardwired. You aren't born singing a certain way.
Right, exactly. They have to experience adult songs before they acquire their own. This kind of transmission by learning from generation to generation is the same way that human culture is transmitted. So what we found is that the chestnut-sided warblers in our study population had two distinct cultural traditions that were changing over time or evolving in very different ways.
One of those for romance, basically, and the other for aggression or protecting territory?
Yes, these birds have repertoires of songs that fall into two categories.
So let's hear some of that. Let's start with hearing some of that so-called fight song. And why don't, for comparison, we now hear some of the love song and we can get a sense of whether we can hear a difference with an untrained ear. So, Bruce, tell us what you hear differently when you hear fight versus romance.
Well, when we heard the romance songs, the second songs that we heard, if you listen carefully, you'll notice that at the end of each song, there's kind of a louder portion that sounds like wheat, wheat, chew, wheat, wheat, chew. That chew at the end, that kind of downward sweeping frequency, is the signature of the love song or the mate attraction song. All of the mate attraction songs have that downsweep, that chew at the end. The fight songs lack that.
And you found that the fight songs are the ones that change over time. You know, it's sort of like a new fashion coming in. Skinny jeans get replaced by something else. So you found that if a new fight song were effective, it quickly caught on among other birds?
Yes, there's a continual turnover of songs with new ones appearing and old ones disappearing. The most popular ones are far more common than the less popular ones. And even if those popular songs remain in the population for a while, the identity of the ones that are most popular changes steadily over time. And this pattern of change is exactly the pattern of change that anthropologists who have modeled certain aspects of human culture, such as the popularity of baby names or the popularity of different dog breeds as pets, follows this almost exactly this same kind of pattern.
So, Bruce, we would expect to see this kind of evolution. I mean, changes happen. In a way, that's not surprising that song may change among fighting. But what's atypical about what you found is that these chestnut-sided warblers don't change their romance song. So why would the romance song be so timeless?
Well, it always unambiguously identifies a chestnut-sided warbler as a chestnut-sided warbler. So although other kinds of songs might vary from place to place geographically, kind of like the dialects of human speech, a female chestnut-sided warbler who was flying along waiting to be attracted to a territory by a male, she can easily identify a male chestnut-sided warbler no matter where he was hatched and where she was hatched.
So if we're going to create a human analogy here, is the idea that if you've got a really good pickup line, you know, one that works really well time after time after time, why change it?
That's pretty much it. Another aspect of it is that if all the males are singing more or less the exact same song, that makes it much easier for females to detect differences between males. The same way it's easy for judges in the Olympics to distinguish gymnasts from one another if they're all doing precisely the same move than if they were all doing different ones.
Bruce Byers is an associate professor of biology at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. His findings on variations in the songs of the chestnut-sided warbler, which is a songbird in western Massachusetts, will appear in the October issue of the journal The American Naturalist.